Catholic Church prior to the Reformation, and actually ever since, would sell people. So you pay them money and you get a little piece of paper that says that your dear departed grandmother or whoever now can get out of purgatory and go to heaven. And he said, what? That's why they had the Reformation, because people realized that's not in the Bible. And so we talked together about what is in the Bible, and what an amazing divine appointment that was. You never know what door God will open up for conversations. But that's the first time I've ever had an opportunity for sharing the gospel with someone that started with, tell me more about the Reformation. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning, we give you thanks for the truth that we find in the Bible. In this world filled with so much confusion, and it's been that way for thousands of years, people believing all sorts of things, selling pieces of paper so people could go to heaven, and worse. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, that when we read what you say, we know that we are reading absolute truth from God who created us, who created this whole world. So we pray for the presence of your Spirit this morning to open our minds to understand what we are reading, that in this case is all about the Holy Spirit. And God, we ask that for each person who is here, you would give that man or woman just what they need this morning from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be learning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit from John's Gospel. And if I were to preach or teach a series on the Holy Spirit, I would probably begin right here in John chapter 16. Understanding the Holy Spirit is both essential for a Christian, and it is challenging. It's essential because without the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to follow Jesus. It is challenging because the Holy Spirit seems to us both mysterious and inaccessible. I know who the Father is. Calling God Father makes sense to me. I know who Jesus is. Calling him Messiah, the Son of God, the Word of God, Savior, that makes sense. I can get my mind at least partway around those thoughts. But who or what is a spirit? And how is he holy? And how do I relate to the Spirit? Now, the reader of the Old Testament is already familiar with the Spirit of God, but it is not until we get to the New Testament and the words of Jesus that we realize the Spirit is a person. He is God. He is Spirit. He is distinct from the Father. He has personality, will, intellect. The Spirit of God, here in Jesus' teaching called the Spirit of Truth, is a He. He is not a what or an it. He is not like a ghost or an angel. He is God Himself, the third person of the Trinity. There is God the Father, Jesus His Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. Not three gods, but one God in three persons, from eternity past, existing forever. And here in Jesus' teaching, we are going to learn that the Spirit of Truth is sent by Jesus from the Father to help us follow Jesus. He is sent into the world, sent to you if you belong to Christ, to help you follow Jesus. Now, we are in John 15 and 16 in the midst of Jesus' upper room discourse. This is his lengthy and intimate teaching with his disciples right before his suffering and death in the upper room after supper. It begins with his washing the disciples' feet in chapter 13 and ends with his high priestly prayer in chapter 17. And several themes dominate this message of Jesus, the longest message of Jesus that we find in the Bible. Several themes. The first is Jesus' relationship with his Father. He wants his disciples to understand that he is the Son, that God, his Father, is in heaven, and that they have this intimate relationship. Second theme is the importance of obeying Jesus in order to glorify the Father. Jesus wants his disciples to obey him so that the Father would be glorified. Third, Jesus is telling them about the certainty of persecution and the difficulty that it will be to follow him. And the fourth theme has to do with the identity and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And you might say that it is the Holy Spirit who makes all these other themes understandable and doable. Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit in John 14. So just turn maybe one page back in your Bibles to John 14, and we're looking now at verses 16 and 17, where Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." Here Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another helper. The NIV reads another advocate. The King James reads another comforter. Other translations, another counselor. So when this happens, it is a clue that here is a word difficult to translate into English. And indeed it is. This is the Greek word paraclete. Literally, the word means someone, not a thing or an it, but a person, someone who comes alongside to help, counsel, comfort, and coach. Maybe the best translation, particularly if you're an athlete, would be that last word, coach. The Holy Spirit is another coach. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. He is not the Son. He is another helper, another comforter, another coach, another counselor. This means that he's not the same as the others. And we have a stunning picture of the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. In Mark 1, Mark's gospel just about begins with the baptism of Jesus. And we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, that in those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So in a word picture, we have for us presented the relationship between the Father, who speaks from heaven and points us to his Son, between the Son who submits and obeys his Father, and everything that he does pleases his Father, and the Holy Spirit sent from the Father to the Son to draw our attention to Jesus and realize he's the guy. That's what the Spirit does, always. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is a person, like the Father and the Son, called a he, using the third person, singular, masculine, personal pronoun. We see this 7 times in John 14, 10 times in John chapter 16. The Spirit is called he. This is particularly significant as the Greek noun translated spirit. This is the word pneuma, starts with a P, means spirit, breath, wind, air. This Greek root is where we get the English word pneumatic, which means powered by air or gas. And this noun is neuter, not masculine, calling for a neuter article and neuter pronouns. If you've ever studied French or Spanish, you know about gender. In Greek, there are 3, masculine, feminine and neuter. But though the word pneuma, which is the word for spirit, is neuter and requires a neuter pronoun, still, in the Bible, he is always referred to with a third person masculine pronoun. Why? Well, this is done to make a point that the Spirit of truth is not an it. It's not a thing. It's not a breath of air. That's not who the Holy Spirit is. He is a person. He is a he. He's not a way of thinking. He's not an idea. He's not a tool. He's not something I use. In fact, I don't use him. He uses me. That is what the Spirit does. And he has will, 1 Corinthians 12. He has emotion, Ephesians 4 and Acts 5. He has initiative, leading us, Romans 8, Acts 8. And so Jesus, again, tells his disciples, what will happen? Now in John 14, verse 25. John 14, 25, he says, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, that's Paraclete, again, the coach, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. He is another Helper. Who is the first Helper? Well, that's Jesus. Jesus is the original Helper, the original Comforter, Counselor, Coach. But he is going to send another one. And I think that this is the only thing that Scripture tells us that the Father does in the name of the Son. He sends the Spirit. So the Spirit of truth, we find, is God Himself. Now look with me to John chapter 15, starting in verse 26, the text before us today. And see that the Spirit of truth is God, sent from the Father to testify about Jesus. Again here, the Spirit is called Paraclete, Helper, Counselor, Comforter, Advocate, Coach. That's who He is. And Jesus says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me. And you will testify also, because you have been with Me from the beginning. So Jesus tells His disciples again that the Spirit will be sent by the Father and the Son. Actually, in verse 26, Jesus says that the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father. That is a strange way of speaking. But it describes exactly what we saw at Jesus' baptism. The Spirit comes sent from the Father in heaven. So the Spirit is sent out from the Father and the Son. And what does He, the Spirit of truth, do? And right away we are suspicious that it might have something to do with truth. After all, this is the principal way that Jesus refers to the Spirit throughout John's Gospel. And right away, we are not far off. We read of two missions here in John 15, 26 and 27. Two missions of the Spirit of truth when He comes. First of all, He is going to testify about Jesus. You see that at the end of verse 26? Jesus says, He will testify about Me. That's what He's going to do when He comes. The Spirit is going to talk about Jesus. He's going to draw attention to Jesus. He's going to tell people about Jesus. And who is He going to tell about Jesus? Well, it might include some of us here. And secondly, He is going to make these disciples testify as well, verse 27. And you will testify also. You might say that here is the principal work of the Spirit of truth in this world. He tells us about Jesus, revealing Jesus through the Scriptures and helping us understand Jesus. And then He helps us to tell others about Jesus. That is what the Holy Spirit does. And you have probably discovered already that talking about Jesus in this world can be difficult. It feels out of place in this corrupt and sinful world. It meets opposition from Satan, who doesn't want anyone to talk about Jesus. Bringing up Jesus often threatens relationships and makes people uncomfortable. Paul explains in Romans chapter 1, He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. But why would he need to say that? Well, it is because in this world, people often feel ashamed of the gospel. He tells Timothy to not be ashamed of the gospel. Why would he tell Timothy that? Well, it's because sometimes Timothy has felt that shame when bringing up the gospel. And it is because the gospel can make us feel ashamed in this world that is corrupt and filled with sin and people who don't want to hear about Jesus. And we would feel ashamed if not for the ministry, for the witness of the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth tells us about Jesus and helps us tell others about Jesus. Secondly, the Spirit of Truth is the helper who keeps us from falling away. And now we're down to John 16, the first four verses. And listen to what Jesus says here and recognize that this instruction from Jesus is couched right between his teaching about the Spirit in chapter 15, verse 26 and 27, and his teaching about the Spirit that begins in verse 5. So Jesus is still thinking about the Holy Spirit. But here what he says is this. He says, these things, what things? Well, the things about the Spirit. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogues. And an hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think that he's offering service to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me, but these things I have spoken to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So Jesus is speaking now to his disciples because he's going away and he's telling them that things are going to get hard and that he's teaching them the things that he's teaching them so that they will not fall away. Some translations read stumble. Why? Well, because it's going to get really difficult in this world to be his witness. Right now, I have friends on the other side of the world who are enduring persecution. The local people where they are, and I'm not going to talk about exactly where that is because this message is going to go online, and some of these people in certain parts of the world will actually investigate people who travel to different places to find out what they say so that they can arrest their friends and beat them and things like that. The local people in this place that I often travel to have discovered what's going on among the Christians right there in their community. I won't be able to go back in January because my presence with them could get them in trouble. Even now, they're fearful of being beaten by a mob or arrested by the police or thrown into prison. Friends of mine. Why would people do this to sincere, kind-hearted, loving people who love Jesus? These Christians and their community, all they do is love people around them, help them in their lives, feed their kids, and tell them about the truth that we find in the Bible. Right here in verse 2, Jesus tells us why they do this. People do this to Christians because they haven't known the Father and they haven't known Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Do we think we're better than Jesus? This is how it goes in this world. I think of the martyr William Tyndale, who gave us the English Bible. He said regarding his persecution, I never expected anything else. And so we shouldn't either. All the more reason to have courage when we endure soft persecution. What? Someone's not going to like you because you tell them about Jesus? Well, you might lose your job. Okay. Why did Tyndale say this? It's because Jesus says this in verse 4. He says, I've spoken this to you so that when the hour comes, you can remember that I told you about it. And Jesus has told us all what to expect as we talk about Jesus with others in this world. Now, what does this have to do with the Spirit of Truth? Well, there's a clue just how in verse 1 when Jesus says, I've told you these things so that you can be kept from stumbling or so that you won't fall away. The Spirit helps us. He is our helper, our coach. Like Jesus, He helps us to not fall away when things get hard. And later on, we'll see just how he does this. But for now, it's enough to recognize the testimony of the Spirit about Jesus. In chapter 15, verse 26, "He who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me." The Spirit will tell us about Jesus so that we can tell others about Jesus. And so in Matthew chapter 10, these words are so encouraging for anyone who is enduring persecution. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, listen to what Jesus says. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Now you just got to use your imagination a little bit. That's not a great picture. What do wolves do to sheep? They eat them. So this is the picture that Jesus is giving for us in this world. "I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." So we do what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes we act like we're doing something else so that we can do what we're supposed to be doing all over the world. But we're not doing anything wrong. We're just obeying the Lord who tells us to love other people and share the gospel everywhere we go. Verse 17, Matthew 10, 17. "But beware of men, because they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in the synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." Remember what Jesus said about the Spirit. He testifies to us so we can testify to others. That's exactly what's going on here. "But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." What amazing encouragement it is to know that we don't have to practice or rehearse what to do when we're persecuted. Rather, we just need to understand, to be close to the Lord and understand that He will give us just what we need. Our helper, our coach, the Holy Spirit, will be with us so that we can endure and witness and be faithful until the end. He is your helper, your coach. Now, between recovering from surgery and the success of Illinois in the NCAA tournament, I probably watch way too much basketball for what is good for a person. However, in one game, one of the Illinois players, a forward, was getting really frustrated. The other team had found a way to irritate him, shoving him around and slapping him. In fact, Emily, who was watching the game with me at the time, she said, "Why are they slapping each other?" Well, they were certainly doing that to this guy. All kinds of shenanigans to try to irritate him and frustrate him. And after one particular shenanigan, the poor Illinois forward lost it and gave the other guy a shove. And so he got called for a foul. That didn't help him. And so Coach Underwood sat him down on the bench. And I just love the scene. Here's the kid sitting on the bench, maybe for 30 seconds or so. And then, you know, there's a break in the game, and so the camera goes over. And Coach Underwood walks over down the bench to this guy, kind of kneels down in front of him, and he's talking with him. And this kid is nodding his head like this. He's obviously so frustrated. He's nodding his head. The coach is talking to him. And then the coach goes back and sits down. About 5 minutes later, this player is sent back into the game. And he is focused. He's ignoring the stupid stuff going on. He is playing his game the way the coach told him to, and they won the game. But what a picture of what the Holy Spirit does for us. And we get all frustrated and distracted. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to grab us like a coach, look us in the face and say, "Cut it out. You need to live by the truth. You need to stop getting distracted by all this stuff." And I think that's what the Holy Spirit does with us in so many different ways in our lives. The Spirit of truth tells us the truth. He uses the words of Scripture when we're under duress. He sits us down, helps us to refocus. He helps us to see the distractions and the temptations, the dangers and the discouragements, and to follow Jesus through them all. Third, the Spirit of truth is better for us than having Jesus physically present. This is what Jesus says next in John chapter 16, verse 5. And I wonder what the disciples thought when they heard him saying this. I imagine Peter sitting there shaking his head saying, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. But now, Jesus says, John 16:5, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Actually, they did ask him that, but not in this moment. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart, which is absolutely true. They're sad because Jesus keeps talking about his leaving them. Look at verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is telling his disciples, look, it's better that I leave you than stay with you. Oh? Why is that? I imagine, if I were there, I would have thought, how are we going to follow you if you're not here? But Jesus is saying that it is better for them because when he goes away, he's going to send the Spirit, the Helper, this other coach. Still, if I were a disciple, I might not have been convinced. Why is it better that we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth with us, rather than Jesus physically present? Why? Have you ever thought about that? How many of you have thought at times, you've thought, if only Jesus could show up physically and talk to me, then things would be better. If only I could hear his voice right there with him sitting next to me, that's what I want. How many of you have thought that before? I certainly have. A lot of times. But there's a remarkably simple answer to the question. Why is it better that Jesus goes away and sends the Spirit than if he stayed around? You see, Jesus can only be in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit can be with me all the time, wherever I go, and can be with you all the time, wherever you go, and with you all the time, wherever you go. That's amazing. What an arrangement. What a blessing it is to have the presence of God with me all the time, wherever I go. The disciples didn't have that with Jesus. We have that now with the Spirit of truth, the presence of God with us all the time. And this is going to have an immense impact on the entire world. Beyond the physical presence of Jesus. This is something that the physical presence of Jesus would never have accomplished. And that is that the Spirit of truth, now we are on to the next point, the Spirit of truth convicts the world regarding sin, righteousness, and judgment. And to understand what Jesus is saying here, it is essential to read these verses in their context. Because the Spirit of truth lives in us. He comes to us. And here's what Jesus says. And he, when he comes, John 16:8, he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. You see, this is what the Spirit will do when he comes. But where, or rather, to whom does he come? To the world? Does the Spirit come to the world? No. No, the Spirit comes to those to whom the Father sends him. And who is that? To whom does the Father send the Spirit? To those who believe in Jesus. To those who follow Jesus. How does this work? Well, when the Spirit of truth comes to those whom the Father, to whom the Father sends, they are born again. Their lives are transformed. Jesus called this being born again. Their lives are transformed by the work of the Spirit. And they learn to listen to Jesus, to follow Jesus. And does God snatch them up into heaven right away? Right out of this world? Is that what happens? No, he leaves us here. Why does he do that? We keep living right here, though we are saved. Have you ever wondered why? Well, it's because the Spirit of truth is at work in us and through us. And now we read about some of what he is doing. How is he at work? Well, first of all, we read, the Spirit of truth is convicting the world regarding sin. You see, people don't think that they sin, or they don't think it's important, or they know that they sin and they don't want to think about it. And along comes little you. and the Spirit of God is living in you, working on you. You know that you're a sinner and that God hates sin and that sin messes up people's lives. And sometimes you might say just that. Or you might say nothing, but they know you're thinking it. I've actually had people say to me, I know that you think I'm a sinner. I didn't say anything. That's the Spirit of God at work in me, in the world, through me, in the lives of other people. Everywhere you go, there's a good possibility you are convicting people around you concerning sin. Because you know something they don't, that sin is a big issue. And it messes up and destroys people's lives. This is the conviction of the Spirit of truth. And He convicts the world concerning righteousness. This is the opposite of sin. What is right and the right way to live. Righteousness is God's way to live. And this world sees little of this righteousness. Of course, the world could see Jesus and those right around Jesus could see Him. But look at what Jesus says in verse 10. The Spirit is going to convict the world concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. So the world no longer gets to see Jesus, but they do get to see you. And the Holy Spirit is living in you. And they might have all kinds of goofy ideas regarding what's really right in the world. And then little you comes along, filled with the Spirit of truth, reading your Bible and praying and whatnot. And that's when they say, you and your perfect little family, you think you're so great. And you might not have said a thing. You're just living out God's truth in this world. And it shows the world what righteousness looks like. It convicts the world regarding righteousness. All we're doing is trying to live according to the power of the Spirit, the righteousness of God, and it makes people in the world uncomfortable. This is a conviction of the Spirit of truth by the Spirit through you. And the Spirit convicts the world regarding judgment. Hebrews 9 tells us that we get one life and then comes judgment. What a summary of what life is really like. But people don't like this. People don't like the idea of judgment and hell. Who would? Judgment and hell are for Satan in the first place. No one in the world wants to think about sharing in that. And so they don't think about it. Until little you comes along. And here you are warning people that you love about judgment and hell. Sometimes you might not need to say a word. My brother said to me about 15 years ago, he said, John, I know you think I'm going to hell. I said, what? I've never said that to you. Yeah, but you think it, don't you? That's what you believe. What do you say to that? Why would he ask that? I'll tell you why. It's the conviction of the Spirit of truth. Here you are believing the truth, listening to the Spirit, living out the way the Spirit wants you to live. And Paul tells us that this, for some people, this is the smell of death. They realize, I'm in trouble. The Holy Spirit living in you will bring conviction to this lost, corrupt world wherever you go. Sometimes just your presence will remind people of sin, righteousness, or judgment. The Spirit of truth convicting the world. And finally, the Spirit of truth helps us to understand what Jesus says. Recall Jesus' teaching back in John 14. Now He adds to it here in John 16, starting in verse 12. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He has taken of Mine and will disclose it to you. Jesus is telling His disciples here that the Spirit will remind them of what He says and help them understand it. And that these disciples, they are going to be writing Scripture so that they need the help of the Spirit. But the Spirit of truth carries out this ministry in our lives even today. Not in writing Scripture, but in understanding it. And so Jesus tells us through them that the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Back in chapter 14, we learn that the Spirit reminds us of what Jesus says. He leads us in our understanding of Scripture, of the Bible. And He will speak what Jesus says, as Jesus just says here in verse 13, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He doesn't make up his own stuff, Jesus is telling us. He won't speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears. And who does he hear it from? He hears it from the Father and from Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, this is really important. The Holy Spirit rarely tells us things that are not in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit never tells us things that are inconsistent with the Scriptures. Beware the guy who comes along and says, the Spirit told me whatever. Watch out for that guy. Because if what he says isn't from the Bible, then he's a charlatan. Because the Holy Spirit speaks what is given to him by the Father and the Son. And Jesus says, he will glorify me. The Spirit always causes us to think about Christ and what Jesus Christ says. The Spirit makes us listen to Jesus. The Spirit helps us pray to Jesus. The Spirit helps us to talk about Jesus. This is why we are rightly suspicious of those who claim to hear the Spirit and then draw attention to themselves. Because that's not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws attention to Jesus. He causes us to think about Jesus. And he will speak and will disclose to you what the truth is, what God says. Disclose means to uncover or speak or reveal. And in verses 13, 14, and 15, we read the word three times. The Spirit reveals to us things that Jesus says that are there in the Word. This is why it's so important to study your Bibles. The Christian who says, I believe in Jesus and the Spirit's working in me, but I don't really pay much attention to the Bible. That's insane. Because the words of Scripture are the words that the Spirit uses in our lives. If you're not in the Word every day, if you're not studying the Bible, you're not giving the Holy Spirit any vocabulary to speak to you. There's no resources for His message to you. But if your mind is filled with the Scriptures, you will find that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind what you need from the Bible all the time. Maybe you need some correction in your life because of sin. Maybe you need some encouragement. Whatever it might be, the Spirit is going to take the Word that you've implanted in your heart and in your mind, and He's going to use that in your life, and He will speak to you. Just the other day, I was here in town shopping at, what is it now, Sunshine. And I had my cart full of beans that I was making chili. On my way to the checkout, and a man came up, and he said, excuse me, he's holding a jar of peanut butter. He says, I'm homeless, could you buy this for me? And I had that moment of, don't bother me. I mean, I'm a sinner. And so whenever somebody comes along, I always have this initial moment of, don't talk to me. And then, the Spirit brought to mind Jesus' words saying, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. Totally transforms how a person would think about the situation. My natural inclination was to think one way. The Spirit comes in and says, oh, no, you don't. I take the Bible, the words of Jesus, and apply it to your life in this moment. And so I got to take the guy shopping a little bit, make sure he had some bread and other stuff to go with his peanut butter. That's what you do when you're listening to the Spirit. The Spirit didn't tell me anything that wasn't already there in the Bible. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God so that the children of God become like the Son of God for the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all your goodness to us and the blessing that it is to have your Spirit, God Himself, living in our lives, working on us, helping us understand your Word, applying it to our lives moment by moment. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.